say that here go some things that'll make you want to holler and throw up both your hands. Our schools have become arenas of deadly violence. Make you want to holler, throw up both your hands. Our prison population is increasing exponentially from 500,000 in 1980 to over 2.5 million today. Over 1.5 million women are reported victims of domestic violence each year. And there are estimated untold numbers that are never reported. Makes you want to holler, throw up both your hands. We are currently averaging over 3 million child abuse cases every year involving 6 million children. Makes you want to holler, throw up both your hands.
Greetings, radio friends. Thank you for joining us today on the Anchoring in Jesus radio program. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor here at Bethany Baptist Church. We're going to continue our message from Psalm 11, Godly Influence. But before we get to the message today, we've been offering a book entitled Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. And so we encourage you to contact us here and get a copy of the book, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow, where you get solid biblical answers about heaven. Now, join us for the conclusion of Psalm 11, Godly Influence.
What? If the foundations are being destroyed, why should you even do anything? Why even bother? And you know, I'll be honest with you. Y'all pray for your pastor. Y'all pray for your pastor, because I thank God for his word, because it convicts me. It convicts me. But you know, I was looking and I was thinking about some things that's going on in our world today and in our country. And I said, Lord, well, you know, I'm gonna keep preaching on it, but I just don't have any more energy to fight it. I'm just not gonna fight it anymore. You know, the whole thing with, you know, the homosexual agenda. And I just thought, we done lost that battle. I said to myself, yeah, I'm going to keep preaching what the scriptures say, but, you know, that's a battle that it's foregone, it's lost. And it's almost like I'm agreeing with what the faint-hearted are saying, that the faint-hearted said, if the foundations are destroyed, why should you do anything? Why should the righteous do anything? And it convicted me, man, it pricked me in my heart. And I said, wow, Lord, I found myself. And I even mentioned it to a couple of you. I even said at this point, why even fight it? You know, it's foregone conclusion. How a small minority of individuals are controlling this whole country. And they have the power, and their agenda is the agenda that's being recognized. Why even fight it? If the foundations will be destroyed, the foundations are already destroyed. Just let it go. Don't deal with it. Let it go. But then God's word comes back to my spirit, and the word of God begins to say that you can't become faint-hearted. You can't listen to the faint-hearted and become faint-hearted. And so now David shares with us a couple of things that we can do when the foundations are being destroyed. You know, somebody said that all that it takes for evil to prevail is for good men and women to do nothing. Or if I can put it this way, all it takes for evil to prevail is for good men and women to flee to the mountains. If you flee to the mountains, then evil is going to take over. If you stop standing, if you stop speaking, if you just lay back and just let evil run amok, it's going to take control. He gives us three things, and I'm done. First of all, Trust in the true foundation. Oh, there is a foundation that shall not be destroyed. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Oh, there is a foundation that is untouched. There is a foundation that's unmoved. And we read about it in verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. What is this telling us? That David need not flee, because even though all foundations on earth are being shaken, the social foundations, the moral foundations, the religious foundations, the spiritual foundations, the family foundations, even though all foundations are being shaken here on earth, that God is still on his holy throne. He hasn't been shaken. Nobody's kicked him off. There hasn't been a coup d'etat that overthrew God. But he's still on the throne. And when I look around and I see blacks killing whites and I see whites killing blacks, the first thing that I ought to do is say that earthly foundations are being shaken. But there is a foundation that's not destroyed. That God is in his holy temple. That even though kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, that God is on his throne. And he's not up there being rattled. He's not up there being shaken. I think that God grieves. I think that God weeps when he sees the things that are going on, when he sees how man treats other men. I believe that the heart of God breaks, because that's not the desire that he has for his creation. But let me tell you something. It does not affect the foundation of heaven in one way when earthly foundations are shattered. Sometimes it's so easy to look at what's going on around us and forget that there's a foundation that's still in place. And I'm looking for the true foundation. I'm looking to stand in the foundation where God is in his holy temple and the Lord is on his throne. So that's the first thing that I want to say. So let's, again, you know what I think? And I might just be preaching to me up here this morning. I might just be preaching to me. But you know what I think? Bill, you know what you got to do? What's that, Bill? You got to begin to change the way that you think. I mean, really, you got to begin to change the way that you think. And we got to begin to process things through the biblical mindset. We got to be able to process things through God's mindset. And when I realize that God is sitting on the throne, then I process it through that. I don't process it through what's going on down here on this earth. Man, if you process it by the way that things are going on down here on this earth, help me out. It makes you want to holler. Throw up both of your hands, all right? Not gonna only throw up one hand, but throw up both of your hands, all right? But when I get the right perspective and I realize that God is in his holy temple, that he hasn't gone anywhere. And so the question is, look at Psalm 11:3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? No, that's not the question. The question is, if the foundations be destroyed, what can't the righteous do? What can't the righteous do as long as God is on his throne? And then the second thing that we see is that we got to trust in God's omniscience. Trust in God's omniscience. Look at verse 4, the second part. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the children of men. The Lord testeth the righteous, but the wicked and him who loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. this shall be the portion of their cup. First of all, it says here, the eyes of the Lord behold. The Lord sees everything that's going on. It's not like, you know, this stuff happens and then somebody got to go tell God what happened. Somebody got to go inform God what happened. God sees. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees what's going on. God saw these men who were shot by the police. God saw the sniper who killed these policemen and wounded the other one. God saw it. It didn't take him by surprise. He saw it. And I look and I take comfort in that God is aware of what's going on. Because if you look at things the way that they're happening, you can almost get to the standpoint to say, man, does God really know what's going on? How can God? And then you know what? You begin to question God. And you begin to get distance from God. Because you see things and they make absolutely no sense to you. And sometimes we got to be like Job. Job lost his family. He lost his possessions. And he lost his health. And yet and still he said, though the Lord slay me, yet will I trust him. Yet will I trust him. God, I can make absolutely no sense of this. But I know you see it. And because you see it, that's going to give me some confidence. But no, notice that he said, not only does God see it, but notice, and this is a very interesting idiom. At the end of verse 4, his eyelids test the children of men. What does that mean? His eyelids test the children of men. Well, this is a Hebrew idiom, and it means to examine something in a scrutinizing way. So watch. If I'm examining something intensely, watch. What's happening? My eyelids begin to contract. That's what the psalmist is saying. That his eyelids, that when he sees stuff going on, that not only does he see it, but his eyelids contract. And he begins to study it. And he begins to look at it. And then, this might not be a lot of consolation, but now we can see some things that God does that might make sense. Because look what he says here. He says, his eyelids test the children of men. The Lord does two things, right? The first thing that he does in the midst of all this chaos and foolishness that's going on, verse 5, the Lord testeth the righteous. And the idea of testing, let me show you the idea of testing. Look at Proverbs 17:3. Proverbs 17:3. Oh, somebody gonna need to shout after this one. I'm looking for a shout after this one right here. Proverbs 17:3. The refiner's pot is for silver, and the furnace is for gold. So what do these things do? These things, the fire, the refining pot, it does what? It burns off the dross. It burns off the things that are waste. The furnace for gold. And what does the furnace? It purifies the gold. It strengthens the gold. And the Lord testeth. What does he do? Tries. He tries the hearts of his people. That whenever things happen, God is trying the hearts of his people. And somebody said, whatever don't kill you should make you stronger. Whatever don't kill you should make you stronger. That's what he's saying here. The Lord tries the hearts of the righteous. That the Lord sees these things going on, and his end result for his people is to be purified and to be stronger. That whenever I turn my TV on and I see somebody just killed somebody, when I see turn my TV on and I see an injustice has been committed, that ought to be strengthening me. That ought to be purifying me. That as I look around and see these things, that it ought to convict me. Lord, how can I grow stronger in you and go out and make a difference? You know, I'm going to preach part two of this message next week. And we're going to talk about how do you make a difference? What can the righteous do? So the question that I have, when you see stuff happening, do you become stronger? Do you become purified? Or do you do like Pastor Glaze sometime? You get in the flesh and you start becoming critical. You start becoming judgmental. You start becoming condemning. Lord, convict my heart. Lord, convict my spirit. And first and foremost, yeah, we need to, make sure that righteousness prevails. There's no question about that. But the first thing that God is interested in my life, is how I respond, is what happens in me. That's what God is interested in. And if I'm not getting better, if I'm not becoming more purified, if I'm not becoming stronger, then I'm missing God's whole purpose in whatever's going on around me. And see, that's what I'm talking about when I say we need to retrain our thinking, because our thinking goes in a completely opposite paradigm when things happen. And we're not in God's paradigm. This is God's paradigm right here. Is that when the wicked are prevailing, that we are being strengthened, that we are being purified. And then God said, okay, well, I just want to let you know that I haven't forgot about the wicked now. I'm going to take care of them. So I think he slips one in there on us and says that I haven't forgot about them, because look what he said. And I believe this is just a side note. He says, because in verse 5, verse 5, the Lord tested the righteous. He strengthens. He purifies them in the midst of. But the wicked and him who loveth violence, that God his soul hateth. Now, God doesn't hate people. He hates what they do. And so it says, verse 6, upon the wicked, that they're going to get theirs. They are going to get theirs one day. Unless they repent and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are going to get theirs. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone. Now, we just did a three-week study on Wednesdays on hell. And so, there's a whole lot of people that, and I went through all the theories that explain hell away. And there's a whole lot of people that explain hell away because, if they're going there, they don't want to go there. But this is the end. God says that he will take care of the wicked. And so don't worry. We don't need to be sitting around worried and fretting about wicked folk. All right? Because God said, I got this. I got it. You sitting around, again, I think that, we need to, and I'm going to talk about this next week. So, I want to get to this now, but I'm going to save it till next week. But we need to be involved. We're supposed to be light and salt. So, we need to be involved. But we need to also realize that God is going to take care of some. He's going to take care of some things himself. And so we can't get out here and try to execute judgment on the wicked. Some things, as hard as it is, we got to leave it in God's hands. And so he says here that Pastor Glaze, I'm talking about Pastor Glaze, sitting around getting mad, thinking about all the things that need to be done. Look, you need to be worried about what God is doing in you and how God wants to use you to make a difference. That's what you need to be concerned about. Instead of just sitting back and belly aching and complaining. You know, and that's what I'm saying, Saint. This is the message I'm trying to get across, all right? So this is the message, right? That we need to see things the way God sees them. And when we don't see them the way that he sees them, we go in a whole nother different direction. A whole nother different direction. And then finally, we need to trust in God's righteousness. Verse 7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. And so here we see that God loves righteousness. In the notes, we say this: the Lord who is righteous loves righteousness. Those who live upright lives and seek his face will live in his presence. That's what the word countenance means, that we will live in his presence. In the midst of crumbling foundations, the psalmist did not have to flee to the mountains. He could trust the righteousness of God, who would bring him into the presence, into his presence, whether here on earth or in glory. That if we live upright lives, that we will live in God's presence, whether here on this earth or in glory. And when we are in the presence of God, there's protection. Now, let me give this illustration. So if you thinking about joining Bethany Baptist Church, remember this illustration happened years ago. I remember one Wednesday night, and some of you saints may remember, because this was years ago. When I first came to Bethany, I think I had been here about 3 or 4 years, and Bible study had just ended. And, you know, some of us were walking out, you know, going out the front door, the steps, you know, going down. And there was a man who came off the street, and he ran and started grabbing my arm and holding on tight to me. And I was like, what are you doing? And there was a guy across the street, and he had a gun. And he said that he's trying to shoot me. He said, but I know that if I'm by somebody, he's not going to shoot. I said, okay. So, but at that point, somebody had the presence of mind to call the police. And so, you know, and this guy, he was moving closer, right? And all of a sudden, I heard the police sirens. And when he heard the police sirens, he ran. And I said, praise God. The Lord is good. But the point that I was trying to make, regardless of, I know we laugh when I said it, but just think what he thought. He thought that as long as he was close to me, that guy wasn't going to shoot him. Now, he had more confidence than I had. But that was the confidence. That was his confidence. Or maybe he just was trying to use somebody as a shield. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that when we draw close to God, there's protection. That when the enemy looks at us, the enemy sees us. If he sees us outside the presence of God, then we're open game. We're open for attack. But when we draw close to God, it says that when the righteous come into his countenance, into his presence, when they nudge up next to God, that there's protection in that. And in spite of what's going on, you don't have to holler and throw up both your hands.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of From Tragedy to Triumph. Thank you for joining us as we offer this message to you today, Godly Influence from Psalm 11. If you would like a copy of this message, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. where you can also request a copy of the book, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download more than 400 teachings there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.